This episode is brought to you by USAA Insurance. USAA Homeowners Insurance not only helps you cover your home, it also helps you cover your budget, lower your premium in a number of ways, like saving up to 10% when you bundle home and auto insurance, saving up to 15% if you've been claims-free for 5 years, regardless of your previous insurance provider, and scoring even more deals and discounts on things like home security, moving, and storage with the USAA Perks program. Tap the banner or visit usaa.com/homeowners to learn more and get a quote. Restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. Atlassian.com. Atlassian. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more.
Hey, this is Austin Eckler, and you're listening to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Welcome in. Friday, August 4th, the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Thank you for joining us, Mike Wright, Jason Moore, Andy Holloway. We are here. We're ready to talk top 10 wide receivers on today's show. Outstanding performance from Zach Wilson.
Oh, yeah.
I tried to watch. I wanted to see all the Zach Wilson snaps.
Sure.
I wanted to see Israel Abanikanda.
Oh, come hold on, Mike. Hold on.
Come on. But, I mean, there just wasn't much to see. I would say. Wasn't particularly impressed.
It's the Hall of Fame game. We're just more excited that football is back.
Okay.
That it exists. It's just a reminder. Yeah. It's like, remember this?
Yes.
Get ready.
Someday it will look like this, but with players we care about.
Yeah.
Happy to have you with us. Like I said, ultimatedraftkit.com. Head over there. Jam-packed. Every year it gets a little bit better. I believe, last I heard, over one Harry Potter novel's worth of analysis within the UDK in terms of written word.
Interesting.
Not in terms of spells.
We didn't. Did we shuffle the players into different houses?
Not yet. That's a great idea, Mike. It's a little different than tier-based drafting. It's house-based drafting. But no, it's great. You got to check it out, ultimatedraftkit.com.
We do have a Voldemort, so
that's true.
We're already on our way.
Twitter,
X.
Brooks, you're going to have to change the show, docs.
Guess so.
X going to give it to you.
At the FF Ballers. Follow us over there. Follow Mike at FF Hitman. Follow Jason at Jason FFL. Follow me at Andy Holloway. And quick question of the day. Alex in Indianapolis says, when a player is falling in a draft, how far past ADP before the value is too good to pass up? I love this question because I think it kind of pulls at the whole ADP world in general of how you view, and that's average draft position. And so every platform has their own average draft position based on historical drafts that have taken place. I was just in an underdog draft and I had this exact situation pop up and, you know,
who fell?
I'm trying to remember who it was. I don't remember it off the top of my head. It was like a name that just kept falling and kept falling, but I didn't need that position. Mm. And so, I didn't take the player. There wasn't a number I was looking for. I mean, maybe we would have gotten to this point where I mess up my entire team strategy to take the player, but that wasn't the goal. Like if I took that player, I was going to be deficient someplace else. And so I would just say that like a couple things at the top, like I don't look at ADP like I'm missing out on something if I don't believe in that player and then ADP tells me I'm supposed to. That's one way I wouldn't I wouldn't just take the player because they're falling. And the other way is if I've built the team a certain way and I'm going to disrupt that. Like, Jason, how do you approach it?
Yeah, for me, it's very different between whether this is like one of my leagues I'm in, like the league of record or you know, a startup, a redraft, or if I'm doing underdog drafts. Because on underdog drafts, for me, there is a number. It's like if it's about 20 spots behind ADP, I'm going to take them almost no matter what. Now, your example of like if I've got three tight ends, I'm not going to grab a fourth one. So there's rules to that. But the reason that I would do that on underdog is because we're pretty good at fantasy football. And by we, I don't just mean the us three. I mean the humanity. Average draft
just
position.
Clip that though.
Average draft position has proven, especially year, it gets better and better every single year, more and more accurate to the fantasy finishes of these players. So generally speaking, it is a good guide to where people's value would last. But you know, I try to diversify on underdog. If I've got a ton of drafts, I want players sometimes that I don't like, you know, I want to take a shot on them there. Whereas in my home league, it's like I'm with Andy. I don't care so much about ADP. I want the guys that I believe in. The only place where it really changes for me is the middle round tight ends. Like, I don't like drafting Hawkinson or Kittle or those guys. But if they do, you know, go a couple rounds later, then I'm willing to pull that trigger.
Sure. There is an inner battle for everyone who plays fantasy football, because you have your process, which has gotten you to the players that you believe in, and then watching someone fall, you know, in ADP, you need to leave room. You need to have a margin of perhaps I am wrong. Perhaps my process on this player is wrong, and there's a reason that they're being selected where they were, but in this draft they're falling. And then there is the emotional aspect of it, of drafting players because you feel like you're supposed to, that you don't believe in, and then they are bad at the end of the year.
Oh, that feels bad.
It feels really bad. Like, this is not stat or scientifically based. This is the human element of the game, of the emotional. If I draft someone I knew I shouldn't have because they all of a sudden became a value, I never move away from it. Like, I never forgive myself for drafting that player.
And that brings it to the point of like feeling pressure to make the pick people think you're supposed to make.
Exactly.
So you don't look stupid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And inherently, if a player is dropping that you don't believe in, like, they're dropping. Mm-hmm. So like, other people aren't taking the player you don't believe in. So it can be a bit of a mental hurdle to get over, to kind of stick with your process. And ultimately, you don't want to live with that regret. I mean, Brooks mentioned it too. It's like, if you take that player you didn't believe in because you feel like you have to, so that it looks good as a name on your roster.
It's the worst.
Oh, I got a heck of a value on this guy I don't like.
It's the worst.
Yeah, and here's the other thing, and maybe it's a good August reminder now that we're into 5 days a week. None of the players in the NFL perform based on their average draft position in fantasy football. Mm. There is no direct correlation
as
to performance.
In you're saying, like, they don't look at it?
They don't look at it?
They don't care about your fantasy team?
Nope, they don't get a little ADP injection on the sidelines from the training staff that, like, helps them perform. It's all
the goal line, and the coach is like, well, hold on. Get the backup in there.
Yeah, I mean,
we got to get him some more points.
Here's a good example of an area where I am bucking some trends ADP-wise. Carolina's wide receiver room.
Okay.
Adam Thielen, Jonathan Mingo are traditionally the two players, and Terrace Marshall, right? Those names, they come up. I'm drafting DJ Chark above all those players.
Okay.
And because that, you know, we have this established average draft position that just comes out and then everybody just does it. But I think DJ Chark is a really talented player that is going to be able to earn opportunities there. And I don't really care what everybody else thinks about how that room's going to go. Now, I'm going to pay attention to preseason. I'm going to pay attention to camp and reality. But I'm not, you know, we get these average draft positions going in February, March, April. Like, they kind of persist for a really long time. JSN, Tyler Lockett. That's been an interesting ADP thing to watch.
Yeah, that one got pretty crazy pretty quickly because, you know, when something happens months ago and an ADP is quickly established, it's really hard for anyone staring at that to not just obey it. And so it's
obey the ADP.
And so it just kind of sticks. And when things change, they don't catch up quick enough. So as we get closer and closer to the end of August to your actual draft, be willing to know that if new information has happened and changed recently over the last couple weeks, ADP will not reflect it as well as it should. So be a little bit more aggressive there.
Oh, because it's lagging.
Yeah.
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 And if you drafted JSN and around behind ADP 3 months ago, you're like, oh, man, I took the value I wanted. And then now he's behind Tyler Lockett in drafts. So it's not a value anymore. So, yeah, it is an interesting discussion as a whole, because I think the overarching thing is there's a lot of pressure when you're in those drafts, because every time you click below, like if you're on a platform, ESPN, Yahoo, whatever, Sleeper, and you see that list and you take a player three or four below, like you feel like you did something wrong.
Yes. Yes. And
you know,
even we feel that way. Like our job is to talk about fantasy football, and I still feel the pressure of an online draft room and the guy who's at the top of the ADP. I'm like, well, I mean, it's the best guy left, right? It has to be.
You could take advantage of that in the fact that the other people in your league are going to feel a lot of pressure to take those top guys.
You got
to
fight against it.
But it's hard because you also pick and then you wait maybe 15 picks before you pick again. So good question. Thank you, Alex, for sending that one in. Let's jump into the news.
News and notes from around the league, presented by USAA Insurance.
Well, we got some news from the Seattle running back room. Zach Charbonnet.
Cobbler strikes again.
Peach Cobbler with the unknown injury for Zach Charbonnet. He's back. He's back on Thursday in practice.
Indefinite means whatever you want it to mean.
Look, we gotta figure out this word indefinite, because it is ominous and terrifying. And yes, Pete Carroll used it. Technically, it was appropriate, like the
lasting for an unknown or unstated length of time.
Yes, but usually when you say that, you're like, this guy's gonna miss some time. I just don't know how much. You're not like, if someone's gonna miss 3 days, you go, yeah, he'll be out a couple days.
I would use only that word if I was a head coach. I would never use another word.
Yeah,
you're not accountable to that word, and you're not even like, as a coach, you don't know. It's the training staff. So
like,
I would
like mid game, like when they're trying to talk to you. Oh, we saw your center got a little shook up there. How long is he going to miss time? Indefinite.
Yeah,
we just don't know. Next snap, they're back.
Well, that's a good.
I didn't know. I didn't know.
I mean, a coach could get away with that.
Well, yeah, because you don't actually know. So maybe indefinite does sound more ominous than just saying like, I'm not sure when he'll be back. I hope he's back soon. Like, if you say that, it is saying the same thing, because you hope they're back soon.
We have a follow-up quote from Pete Carroll on Zach Charbonnet. He said, quote, so now we know what indefinitely is.
He said that?
What? Yeah.
Freaking Pete Carroll.
Oh, he's with us.
Gosh darn it.
Oh, he's a clever.
He's the sneaky snook.
Yeah, he really is.
Kenneth Walker didn't practice groin injury, but they're not concerned about that injury.
According
to the team. They said he'll be back. Elijah Mitchell out of practice with another injury.
Man.
His punch card for the year of injuries, starting to get it filled.
The 49ers backup situation is something that needs to be monitored. You would have presumed it was Elijah Mitchell because it has been him before the Christian McCaffrey thing, but Elijah Mitchell can't seem to stay on the field. We've seen last year's third-round pick, Ty Davis Price, getting some run with the ones. But I've also seen some beat reporters that I trust saying that Jordan Mason looks like he would be the next man up currently if Christian McCaffrey were to miss time.
And let's go here. Broncos head coach Sean Payton said Javonte Williams is going to play in the preseason.
This is insanity.
It's great.
If Javonte Williams is truly healthy, it's fantastic news, incredible talent. It's still, even if he's getting snaps in the preseason, you still don't know what his workload is going to be. Like, how soon will he be truly the guy? Like, will he ever be a workhorse? We don't know that. So this actually, while this is great news for Javonte Williams, the player, the man, the truthers, the Javonte Williams truthers, it makes the situation all the more messy, where it felt like you could get Samaje Perine, who's a good player, at a decent value in the draft, and fill in for 2 to 4 weeks while I'm trying to figure out some things at the running back position. Now, who knows if that's true? I mean, what are you guys doing with this information? Are you are you moving your risk down on Javonte? Are you moving him up? How have you reacted?
I have been continuing to watch and monitor the situation, and I want to be aggressive to jump in.
Okay,
if this just continues progressing,
I think it'll get me a discount on Perine, who I think will be very valuable throughout the whole year. So, Javonte, I don't think is going to be like, I think Samaje Perine's good.
Yeah.
So, in that regard, like Javonte, we were waiting last year to have that big opportunity. Only got to see him for, 3.5 games?
It was just a few.
And I'm excited to see what both of those guys can do in the backfield. It's really great news for Javonte to get out on the field, get this worked through, and maybe he's a second-half league winner. That was today's News and Notes presented by USAA Insurance. Learn more at usaa.com/insurance.
Wide receivers.
Well, if you missed it, yesterday we started the wide receiver rankings countdown, went from 20 to 11. There are a whole bunch of wide receiver twos, talented wide receiver twos out there that we talked through. You can listen to that show. Today we start with the number 10 overall receiver in our rankings being drafted as the wide receiver 10.
Okay.
We all have him ranked very closely. Jason at 9, Mike and I at 11 is... he's a late second-round draft pick. It is sophomore Garrett Wilson. Last year, you got to see it on display against all odds. Really productive rookie season.
Rookie of the year, right? Offensive rookie?
That's right, 83 for 1,104.
Well, really productive half a season.
Yeah, I mean, he busted in 47% of games despite the output being at that level.
And those games, those 47%, we call those the Zach Wilson games.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big transformation and change
just
for him.
Just statistically speaking.
Right, right. Just because of the math.
So, where are you with Garrett Wilson's ceiling with Aaron Rodgers? Is it a breakout 1,500-yard season? Is that in the cards for Garrett Wilson?
It is. I mean, that's the ceiling. The ceiling is, 10 touchdowns, 1,500 yards, a true breakout,
it's
a
like
superstar.
A top three guy.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we talked about, I think, Andy, you brought up a couple weeks ago that you believe he has the ability to finish as the number one overall wide receiver with Aaron Rodgers. If he were to get 12, 13 touchdowns, that could be in the cards. And if you look what he did rookie year, the jokes about Zach Wilson, he scored 6.7 fantasy points per game with Zach Wilson. 14.2 without Zach Wilson. Now he gets Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, 23 years old, right at that prime age for a huge breakout. We'll have every opportunity in this offense, is the most explosive, the most athletic. Camp has been great. And, the price is pretty high for Garrett Wilson. It's pretty well baked in, but the ceiling could be higher than where he's being drafted. So I don't personally have a problem with it. Starts the season against Buffalo, Dallas, New England, Kansas City, Denver, Philly.
Who?
So we've talked about the Jets' start to the season.
That's suboptimal.
And, you're going to see what this team has right away with the Jets. So anything to add on Mr. Wilson?
He's really good.
Yes, he is a tremendous player. We're all in. I mean, the fantasy football community at large is in on Garrett Wilson. The ADP is a little scary because you're basically all but guaranteeing that the breakout is going to happen. But all the background stuff for Garrett Wilson with the perceived upgrade of Aaron Rodgers, I kind of tongue-in-cheek brought up, well, what if Aaron Rodgers is Like, what if this is another situation of the Denver Broncos happening? We don't think that's the case, but it, like, there's definitely some risk with Garrett Wilson, but it's exactly the profile that you want to bet on, because you want the upside of if Garrett Wilson hits, top three is in the range of outcomes.
Yeah, I mean, he's the number one on this team. That is clear and evident. And I have no problem with him at that draft price.
Where, like, the next player we have ranked higher, clearly, because it's number nine. So I'll just move it along. But it's Amon-Ra St. Brown for the Detroit Lions. But when you're looking at these two, you know, talking about the risk of Garrett Wilson, Amon-Ra finishing in the top three would be pretty surprising to me.
Yeah.
Like, Amon-Ra is sensational. We have him ranked very high. But just saying, you know, the risk of drafting a player who is slightly more proven in Amon-Ra versus slightly unproven for Garrett Wilson. But you want ceiling.
If it was full point per reception, I could be talked into Amon-Ra above Garrett Wilson. I have him one spot below. You guys both have him higher. But certainly in half and standard leagues, I want Garrett Wilson. I want the touchdown upside. We've seen, like, that's something that Aaron Rodgers has always been able to do, is provide high touchdown totals for his number one receiver. You know, Devontae Adams, it was an automatic situation. He's given the keys to the red zone a lot of the time. Aaron Rodgers is efficient down there, effective. I think Garrett Wilson is a much higher upside play than Amon-Ra, but
agreed.
But Amon-Ra is going to be an automatic producer for your roster. So let's turn there. Being drafted one spot higher at wide receiver nine on average. Like I said, you guys are both a little bit higher on him than Garrett Wilson, and he is tied for the most receptions, 196, through the first 2 years of his career with Michael Thomas and Justin Jefferson. So this is a very, you know, if you listen to interviews with him or you watch training camp video, like, this is a very driven individual to be great. I think there were 20 wideouts taken ahead of him. How many wideouts were taken ahead of him?
Yeah, where he can list them all off the top of his head.
He has had a persistent chip on his shoulder as a wide receiver since he came into the league, and this team has a lot of weapons. So, and we're not going to see Jameson Williams for a while. Marvin Jones is older. Sam Laporta is a rookie. Jahmyr Gibbs is out of the backfield. Like, I don't see how it goes wrong for Amon-Ra outside of injury.
No, it that's the thing about Amon-Ra, is he is as safe as it comes. In half PPR scoring, he was the wide receiver 8 last year, and he scored 6 touchdowns. He could absolutely score a ton more. He had 106 receptions and only 6 touchdowns, finishes a top 10 wide receiver. The offense, now you've got another, you know, year with Goff, and everything is, you know, full steam ahead for him. I would agree that the area that he lacks is the downfield stuff, right? So you 1,500 yards, that's not going to happen for a player like that who's a possession receiver. So you're right, he's better in full PPR. If I'm staring down those two guys on the clock, I mean, I've got Amon-Ra at my wide receiver 7. My stats have him finishing the season better than Garrett Wilson. I think that the odds are that he will finish higher than Garrett Wilson, but the conversation is definitely which one has the higher ceiling. And that's, if you're in the ultimate draft kit, pay attention to the upside meter that we have there, because that is the difference there. I would probably still take Garrett Wilson ahead for the shot of superstardom.
Yeah, and just to highlight that a little bit more. So Amon-Ra, you know, the season opened very well, wide receiver 14, wide receiver 3, gets banged up. Okay. You know, it kind of in and out of the lineup, getting low snaps, low opportunities. Once he was back and healthy, that's week 8. So from week 8 through the rest of the season, in actual total points, he was the wide receiver 6 in that span. And yet, in that time period, on a weekly finish, he was in the top 10 3 times. And every other game, he was outside of the top 20. Now, it's not bad, because in those weeks, you're just saying that some spike weeks are happening for other players. He's very consistent. It's a lot like Keenan Allen.
It is a lot like Keenan
where
Allen.
It's just, he is a true, it depends on how you play.
Like, he's a chain mover.
He's a chain mover. He's a stable piece to your fantasy football team, through, because you know the yards will be there, you know the receptions will be there, but overall, he's not going to be jumping into the top five on a weekly finish as much as these other players.
Yeah, and we did talk about a little bit of positive regression potential inside the red zone for this team through the air.
Right.
Because of Jamal's touchdowns. And so you could hope, but these type of players like Keenan, you kind of peak at maybe an 8-touchdown year. You sit around 4 or 5 every year, and then you soak up PPR points, and Amon-Ra is that type of guy. Quick break, back with number 8.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Some things may seem small at the time, but when you keep them inside, when you keep everything bottled up, you leave those emotions to fester, and they can have some serious negative consequences. I know when I was younger, you don't want to always say what's on your mind. You don't want to be seen as ungrateful or insensitive or whatever, but sometimes you bottle those things up too long, and they develop into real problems. Talking things out, working through what's weighing you down, it is more helpful than you realize. And if you want a safe space for that conversation, I recommend therapy. I've had therapy. I've had practical, personal advances through therapy, whether I'm learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries personally, how to make better habits in my life. There's a lot of benefit, and you can give BetterHelp a try if you've been thinking of starting therapy. It's entirely online. It's convenient and flexible. It's also easy to get started. You just fill out one brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/footballers to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/footballers.
This episode is brought to you by USAA Insurance. When you're a homeowner in the military community, peace of mind is priority. And USAA Homeowners Insurance is the award-winning service to give you just that. If you have to file a claim, the process is transparent and easy. You can do it all right in the USAA app. And replacement cost coverage comes standard. That means damaged items are repaired or replaced, even if they cost more today than they did when you bought them, which could put your wallet at ease to tap the banner or visit USAA.com/homeowners to learn more and get a quote. Restrictions apply.
All right, at number 8, we have a 24-year-old wide receiver being drafted as the wide receiver 7. We've got him at 8. Mike's the highest at 6. I'm at 8. Jason's at 10. And that would be CeeDee Lamb of the Dallas Cowboys. The breakout finally happened last year. Wide receiver 6 overall, was 4th in reception and targets, led the league in slot receiving yards. And from week 8 on, he was the wide receiver 2 in fantasy points per game. So we've seen it with an offensive coordinator we trust.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have to trust CeeDee Lamb to do it in spite of maybe a slight change in offense, because Dak has been turnover prone, also in training camp from what I hear.
Yeah, I'm not worried about that, honestly.
I'm worried about it when it comes on the heels of the amount of interceptions he's thrown. But
just a quick aside, like, mistakes are supposed to happen in training camp. So this is just like I'm talking about quarterbacks throwing interceptions. Don't freak out. I don't blame Andy. I don't blame you of like Dak was struggling with that the last couple of years. And if you're like, oh, well, the struggles continue. But don't overlook into interceptions during practice. Like, the quarterbacks are encouraged. Make these throws. Like, just try it. See what happens, because you want to know what's going to work here as opposed to figuring it out if it's going to work during a game.
Yeah, and I know that this offense, part of the transition, Kellen Moore leaving, Mike McCarthy and company, Brian Schottenheimer taking over, is to put them in a position to protect the football.
Scoreless.
Their defense is strong. And, it's tough. It is tough. I mean, he was on pace for, over the last 10 games, 24 interceptions on the year. That's a huge problem. Happened in the playoffs
as
well.
What was Dak's injury?
Dak hurt himself.
Wasn't in his hand?
It was a thumb.
It was I don't know if that factored in or not, but the guy did break his thumb. Like, was it his throwing hand on his right thumb? Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe that factored in.
So the team is transitioning. CeeDee Lamb, will he have the same opportunity to put up this kind of a season?
So the opportunity is the scary part for me. He has the same talent. He's an exceptional wide receiver, and he's got the same quarterback. So you've got a lot of safe qualities here, but the opportunity is what's scary, because last year you had Michael Gallup, who wasn't fully, you know, he wasn't all the way back to full health, and you had the departure of Amari Cooper. You had Kellen Moore with a fast pace of play, and I don't think that the offensive coordinator shift is going to make them run the ball even more. They ran so much. But I think it will slow them down. I think they will
pace of play
will slow down. Total offensive snaps will go down as they want to rest the defense and you know, play old school football a little bit. Not so much that we're only going to run, but then you add Brandon Cooks in, and there's just a little bit more competition for targets and a little slower pace of play. That's why I've got him at wide receiver 10. I mean, I'm still in on CeeDee Lamb. I don't think he has a bad year by any stretch, but I think it is not as good as last year when he was the wide receiver
six. And I think it's important to say this right now, because we're counting down the top 10 wide receivers. So when you hear us say something negative, it's because we're trying to find a way to differentiate between these players. These are all players we think are great. They wouldn't be in the top 10 if they weren't. So it's like, we're not going to come on the show and be like, number 8, CeeDee Lamb, he's awesome. All right, number 7, he's awesome too. We're looking at some ways to differentiate and give you information to make an informed decision in your draft. And so I think CeeDee Lamb's a great player. He's 24 years old. I think he's a pretty automatic pick. I think he's a pretty great, consistent option for your team. But there are variables in play for CeeDee Lamb that weren't there last year, and so we need to see what happens there. I'm not particularly concerned about Brandon Cooks or Michael Gallup in the offense. You have so many abandoned targets that Dalton Schultz had in the offense last year, but those are good points. I mean, they are going to be a slower offense. They have a great defense. They were number 1 in turnovers forced last year. They can win a lot of ball games that way. And so, you know, is this a situation where you're going to see maybe less production in the second half of games if they have a lead that they've gotten in the first? We talked about it with Philly.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's what you see in this offense. Maybe they're not stretching the field as much in the second half, and they're just on the ground.
Something I don't know that I've really thought about, because the offseason narrative has been very fun. That the Mike McCarthy has provided with the soundbite of saying that they were essentially saying we're scoring too much, we need to run the ball more and let the defense rest, which it's fun to talk about that. Will they really be able to do that? Now, the offensive line it's not what it was. Like, I think it'll still be one of the stronger units in the league. But looking at the running back room, right, Tony Pollard's the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Tony Pollard's about
215.
Did he get up to 215?
Yeah, I think I'm pretty sure he's 215.
So he's at about 215. We know that Ronald Jones is facing a 2-game suspension if he even makes the team, and Ronald Jones is a smaller guy. Malik Davis is barely over 200 pounds. Deuce Vaughn is barely over 100 pounds, which is, I'm joking, but like this,
but also kind of true.
The size of these players that they have, that the Cowboys said that, and then they're moving forward, like this is a smaller running back room. This is not the archetype of player like Zeke, where like we can give him the ball on the ground 20 plus times a game and we know that he's not going to wear down. Like, can they actually do that with anybody on this team?
It surprises me too, because you would expect another bruiser to be added to this backfield, and it hasn't happened. So something to watch with Dallas. At number 7, Davante Adams.
Yeah.
30 years old, second-round draft pick, being drafted as the wide receiver 8. I have him at 5. Jason at 8, Mike at 8. Last year, he was the wide receiver 3. He led the NFL in percentage of first-read targets, which is a new stat from Fantasy Points that I've really enjoyed looking at. You know, he's been top 3 in fantasy for 3 of the past 4 years. Obviously, last year it was with Derek Carr, and previously with Aaron Rodgers. I don't know if I can make him a my guy because of where he's being drafted.
Absolutely, you can.
But I am strongly considering it.
Oh, hey, look, We make the rules.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're aware of this, but we make
What the are the official My Guy rules?
We make the rules for this show.
It's in consideration.
Okay.
Because I think he's being... I think this is the a crazy opportunity to go running back in the first round and maybe draft the best wide receiver in the second round. Like, I'm not saying Adams is going to be number one, but he's got as good a chance as anybody to be in the top three, in my opinion. Obviously, Jefferson is there, but if Adams outperformed Chase, wouldn't be surprised. If Adams outperformed Tyreek, wouldn't be surprised. So that possibility, being drafted at wide receiver 8, I'm very bullish. You guys have him at 8, where he's being drafted. So you are with the rest of the earth that one.
I'm totally with you on...
Which has to be just Jimmy G.
Yeah, that is where mm-hmm. I was going to go. I'm in lockstep with you on the opinion of Davante Adams, the player. I don't think that he has lost anything. It was, you know, it was a great season, but you did have certainly some games where you're like, what the heck is going on? Why can't Davante Adams catch a target here? But Jimmy Garoppolo has, in his career, been I need yards after catch. Like, this is how my wide receivers produce. This is what he did in San Francisco. It's, you know, quick, where passes close to the line of scrimmage, let my wide receivers work. If that shift happens, can Davante Adams still get it done? As where last year with Derek Carr, this was head, like, big, big A dots, average depth of target for Davante Adams. He was... His yards per catch were the highest of his career, mm-hmm. I believe.
Yeah, that's
by
true.
A wide margin.
Yes.
And he was a touchdown machine as well. So that's my concerns are all related to Jimmy Garoppolo mixing in. Is he going to mesh with what Davante Adams needs?
Let me put this in your brain as one area where he may overcome an A-dot issue and see if you agree. His career catch percentage is 66%. From the time he became an elite player with Aaron Rodgers, his catch percentage was 68%. Last year, he had 180 targets.
Yes.
In that offense, which, look, you're not going to have as high a catch percentage when your average depth of target is deep. He caught 100 passes out of 180. That was like 56%. If he's getting the ball closer to the line of scrimmage and he's getting 180 targets, the PPR numbers are going to make up for some of that A-dot. So I think that you're going to end up in 3-5 with him. I just don't fear Jimmy Garoppolo in contrast to Derek Carr that much.
I would agree with you in general. It's not going from greatness to terribleness. They're near each other. The one concern I have is touchdowns. It's like
14 last year.
Exactly. He had 14 touchdowns, and I do think that is different. When you get in the red zone work, I would trust Derek Carr more than I would trust Jimmy Garoppolo. But
double digits 6 of 7 years.
Davante Adams,
the player, is fantastic.
Is awesome, and he is loud. He will demand targets. He will have 160 targets. So if you've got talent and you've got opportunity, that's great for fantasy football. He's not costing what he usually costs, which is a first round pick. So I think there is value here, but I would be surprised if he finishes inside the top 5, just because I don't expect him to keep the double digit touchdown streak going.
So Kyle just shared the stat with us that 9 of the 14 touchdowns for Davante Adams were 20 plus yards or more for
So many bombs.
That's a monster score. Where can Jimmy Garoppolo do that? I know the NFL, the Raiders are betting on it, at least. They're betting that Jimmy Garoppolo is a good starting quarterback. Is he? Like, he was playing with Kyle Shanahan, who basically every quarterback except for Trey Lance that we see start for Kyle Shanahan, they're very adequate. Like, the offense does it. As long as the quarterback doesn't screw up, the offense will take care of itself. Where I don't think that's the offense isn't going to take care of it for him with the Raiders. Jimmy Garoppolo is going to have to carry. Can he do it? I don't know.
Yeah, we're going to find out. I think I'm on the side of yes.
Sure.
And I understand doubting Jimmy G. No question. Number 6, A.J. Brown, Eagles wide receiver. The wide receiver 6 in ADP right now. Top of the second round. We all have him ranked the same. And last year it was massive volume. He had 146 targets. That was a career high for him. The previous years had been 84, 106, 105. He's dealing with Devonta Smith on the other side, who had 136 targets himself. Dallas Goedert on and off the field last year. But, you know, A.J. Brown is a force. He's a physical dominator. You can throw the ball up to him. You can throw those sideline, you know, almost jump balls that he ends up winning. There were so many times last year, and I know because I saw the look on Jason's face, where that ball went up and you just knew what was going to happen. A.J. Brown is just bigger than you, stronger than you, faster than you, and that's been the case. So, you know, where does it go right? Where does it go wrong for A.J. Brown this year? We got him at six. We obviously think it's going to go pretty well.
Yeah, it's going to go great. I mean, it's just, this is a guy who his first 2 years in the league was a top 15 wide receiver for fantasy while averaging fewer than 100 targets. And now he's in a position where he's getting 140-plus targets. He's just too good. He's in his prime. He's got a great quarterback. So how does it go wrong? Injuries.
That's end of case.
He caught 10 of Jalen Hurts' 22 passing touchdowns. So, you know, could he lose a couple of those? I think, yeah.
Sure.
I mean, that could happen. Goedert or Devonta Smith, variables. But, yeah, it's going to be a really smooth ride for A.J. Brown this year outside of injury.
And the nice thing is, with those targets, what we saw for, you know, not, you know, probably the first time in his career was consistency. He's always been a high upside, big, you know, he can go and finish as the wide receiver one for a week and dominate down the field. But now, you know, over his last 17 games, we have him scored at with an A in consistency, 76.5% of his games above that threshold of good games. That is much higher than even Devontae Adams with 180 targets. So I really don't see how it goes wrong outside of injury. I'm very confident drafting A.J. Brown. I believe that he is as close to a lock to be a top 10 wide receiver as you could possibly be. And, you know, if you say, could he be the wide receiver one overall? Yeah, he's got the talent. He's got the
skill. Yeah, he scores 15 times, he will be.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. That'll happen.
And then when we're splitting hairs with these wide receivers, it's not a terrible thing to look at the first four games just to see what's going on with their schedule. A.J. Brown will be playing at the Patriots, but then he will be playing the Minnesota Vikings, at Tampa Bay, and Washington. That's three juicy matchups. And then just to highlight, to compare to Devonta Adams, who will be playing at Denver, at Buffalo, Pittsburgh, at the Chargers. So Devonta Adams could be a he could be a buy low by week three.
Yeah, but you know what you just showed me? You showed me that they, once again, the Eagles that first month, they don't get second halves. They don't get to throw the
ball.
They
don't need second halves.
I know. I mean, it was good last year without second halves.
You want a title with first halves. That's all. We don't need you to get a second half. Mm. Number five is a player that A.J. Brown has entered this category, which is elite quarterback combined with elite production over time means they're automatic. And Stephon Diggs is in that category right now. Comes in at number five. I have him at six. Jason and Mike at five. Being drafted at the end of the first round. He's played three seasons now with the Bills. There is so much consistency in this offense. Head coach, quarterback, you know, Josh Stallion himself. Season averages with Buffalo, 161. That's the targets. 112 receptions, 1,396 yards, and 9.7 touchdowns. So,
yes, please.
Yeah, you just kind of don't pass on Diggs because
of his tweets.
Well, okay. Like, maybe there's more answers to this at this Mad Lib. Don't pass on Stephon Diggs because he keeps doing it. Mm-hmm. That is something that happens in fantasy. You take the sexier name of the unknown whoever. Don't pass on Diggs just because it's kind of like his elite play has become routine.
Yeah, you're looking at Garrett Wilson. You're like,
exactly.
What if he's Stephon
exactly.
Diggs?
Exactly.
No, Stephon Diggs is still.
He's already Diggs.
He's still there. He still will be him. He is him for at least one more year.
Yeah, it's like Garrett Wilson. Can he get to 1,500 yards? Oh, that'd be awesome. And it's like Diggs
is sitting over there going like,
I had 1,535 yards.
I do it every year.
I had 1,429 yards.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, he's...
And the competition, target-wise, is not impressive. Like, it's, we hope James Cook is good. We hope Dalton Kincaid is good. We hope
Gabe the Babe.
We hope Gabe the Babe is... That's a nickname.
Oh,
it's there.
It's
Brooks,
not, it's
Brooks
not good.
Did it. No, it doesn't... Are our nicknames good, Mike?
Yeah, I stand behind most of them.
The dump truck?
Oh, that is great. That's top tier.
That was a great
And I got to give credit where it's due. That was Kyle.
Yeah, now how do you feel about it?
You mean blame. You got to give blame.
No, credit.
So you don't want the tweets.
Gabe the Babe.
All the offensive weapons, Khalil Shakir and other players, they are all projected. We hope they're okay. But when push comes to shove, Diggs will be the guy. So.
And what's really cool is he was very upset with his targets last year.
It's ridiculous.
He had 154 targets, and he was like,
he saw Adams with 180.
Yeah, and he's like, I'm not showing up for first day of camp. I'm going to send a message because I'm unhappy with my role in the offense. Your role is as a superstar.
Stephon Diggs was out indefinitely.
That's true.
At that time.
They didn't know. It was one day.
When you hear him complaining for a team that he's that good with that good of a quarterback, like he's got the dream scenario for any wide receiver in football. Paid well, mm-hmm. Great quarterback, clear number one, piles of targets, still unhappy. Don't understand it, but it's just it's like one of those wide receivers.
Stay hungry.
Like someday they'll look at the DNA of wide receivers under a microscope and they'll find that gene that just gets mad at things.
It's discontent.
Yeah.
But I do love... At wide receiver, I love a squeaky wheel. I mean, love it.
That's why Adams will not have fewer than 175 targets.
Yeah.
Because if he'll punch another photographer.
Ran into.
Okay. Tyreek Hill comes in at number four. I've got him at two. He's my second favorite wide receiver in fantasy this season. You guys have him at four, which is where he's being drafted. He's been a top six fantasy wide receiver in 5 of 6 years. He is the definition of you get it all. It's not Amon-Ra where you get the PPR, not the touchdowns, and not the big plays. It's not, you know, even what you got with Devontae Adams last year. It was like, oh, it's a 2-touchdown game and big plays, and then where was he in the second half? Like Tyreek Hill is, it's programmed into Tua's brain. He goes back. It's Tyreek first read and also Tyreek last read. Because when the play breaks down, Tyreek is somehow 15 yards away from anybody else down the field. I rewatched the 6 touchdowns in that Baltimore game, the big comeback.
Right.
Tyreek Hill is so far away from people in these plays that it doesn't seem fair. Like
Tua can't even throw far enough to get to him?
Well, no, just that his separation from the defenders is laughable. It's like you're watching a flag football game for your kids where they forgot one kid was back behind there and they just run wild and free. He's a monster. Like I said earlier in the show, highest targets, highest receptions of his career, highest yards and receptions of his career. 31% targets per route run last year for Tyreek Hill. He did all of that. Set those numbers with Tua being injured at times. So, you know,
yeah,
it's not hard
to
say good things about the top four wide receivers. It's just that there were really only, other than the final week of the year, week 18, which you weren't playing him, there was really one game the entire year that he actually hurt you at all. The rest of them, it was like, I mean, he finished number 4 at the position 5 different weeks, number 2 at the position 2 different weeks. It was a really good year for Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, it was.
12% bust.
If you're going to say anything bad, it's ironic. Some of his best games were, as far as targets, like you talk about, he had those times where he finished as the number 4 overall wide receiver. 2 of those games were without Tua. When the backup came in, those were really bad Jalen Waddle games, and you just threw the ball 15 targets, 14 targets to Tyreek Hill because, I mean, if I'm coming in,
yeah,
I know what I'm doing. I'm going, where's that dude that's wide open and faster than everyone? But it's not like he had bad games with Tua. He had good games the whole season. I do think I wonder if Tua is there for all 17 games, if that is – it's great for Tyreek Hill, but I wonder if that's almost his – maybe not his peak just because it's better for Waddle as the ball might get spread around a little bit from a quality quarterback, but there's no complaints. You can't stop him. He's too fast.
Really nice opportunity, at least in week one, against the Chargers. Cooper Kupp, Mike, he sits at 3 right now. I got him at 4, Mike and Jason at 3.
Yeah, and it is unfortunately a little bit scary as if you're just tuning back into Yoo-hoo! Fantasy. Yeah, if you're just tuning back into fantasy football and getting ready, Cooper Kupp has a hamstring injury. He injured it in training camp. They're calling him day to day. The quote is he'll be back in the right time and stuff like that. So, well, I mean, I don't know what Mike LaFleur is doing here. Just say indefinite. And you're,
yeah, taken care of.
We got a word to describe what you're saying.
Yeah, we don't know when he will be back. Hamstring injuries that shut players down in training camp historically are very scary.
It's so hard when the upside is so insanely high.
The upside is the overall number one player. Like, yeah. Cooper Kupp had not lost it, despite what the Rams were doing last year. Like, it was a bad product on the field. They were not a good team. Cooper Kupp was still by far dominating. He was the number one wide receiver in points per game over Justin Jefferson by a few points before he got hurt. That was the separation. That's the upside.
Let me test.
But yoo-hoo.
He was sorry. I just want you to know the pace that he was on, because we're talking about all these numbers with all these great wide receivers, right? It's hard to find complaints. The pace he was on last year before he got injured. Guess his reception pace.
Let's go
160.
153 receptions. Okay. All right. 1,700 yards and 12.8 touchdowns. I mean, just the best of the best.
He finished in the top 24 and he played 9 games.
Let
played
me test
like 8 games.
Let me test hamstring worries. Okay. You're drafting today.
Yeah.
You're staring down other running backs where you had been drafting Cooper Kupp. Eckler Kupp.
Oh, man. I think I still take Cooper.
I'm drafting today.
I'm taking Eckler.
I'm drafting today. I think.
Why the risk when you get Eckler?
I think I go Eckler. Eckler's worth it.
Kelsey.
No.
You're not going Kelsey over Kupp?
No.
I'd be willing to do that. Mike?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I need to move Tyreek Hill above him, because I would take Tyreek.
Bijan. Kupp.
That's the break for me. That's where
How could you not take Eckler over Kupp? Or you did?
I did.
He did.
Oh, okay.
He did.
You
I said
me.
I was.
Okay,
sorry. I have Eckler just a few spots lower than you guys.
Bijan?
I think I'd still take Cooper Kupp.
Diggs?
That's a good question.
That's a really tough one.
I mean, based on rankings you would, but if you have push came to shove and you're staring that down risk-wise, it's scary.
It is. I think I would take Stephon Diggs over him.
Don't draft till later.
Oh.
People. Jamar Chase at number 2. Also known as Mike's number 1 overall wide receiver now.
I just found out this morning. I was unaware that he was your number 1, and
he's been there for a long time.
I love it.
Okay.
Jason, you have him at 2. I got him at 3. Last year missed some time. He's a superstar.
He is. He is a superstar, and the reason I have him number 1, I think there was a lot of meat left on the bone there for Jamar Chase. I mean, the fact that he jumped from 81 receptions in 17 games as a rookie, he had 87 catches in just 12 appearances last year. Like, he was already being used more, right? Like, you saw the target share jump from 24% up to 29%. 29%, that's an elite level target share. If you're right around that 20-30%, like, you're going to be incredible when you combine the talent of Jamar Chase. And then you also had the kind of the strange anomaly of the yards per catch dipped from 18 down to 12. I don't think he's going to – I think 18 is kind of an outlier, but 12 seems too low to me for Jamar Chase. Perhaps it's a product of just the way that the NFL defenses are shifting to that shell.
It's also the quantity of receptions that you liked about him. You know, that's naturally going to happen.
Right, but I think that 12 is too low.
That's true.
I think he can see that target pace and still be up in the 13 to 14
range.
He
could be a 15 like Devontae Adams, who had 180 targets and still ended up at 15. What about those bust games, though, Mike? He's sitting at 0%. Concerning?
I don't even know how that's possible.
12 games, no bust.
Wow. That seems impossible for a wide receiver. All wide receivers have bad games, but Ja'Marr Chase is too good. And when you get 30% of targets coming from Joe Burrow, they're great targets. They're on point. They're leading you ahead of defenders. His pace last year was 190 targets. I mean, that's not what you thought of Ja'Marr Chase beforehand. And I absolutely do not believe.
Daddy, I don't.
I think this is
what is that?
I don't believe it.
I don't know it's what like it is, Scottish. Man. It just sounds funny.
I do not believe at all that we have seen Ja'Marr Chase's best season. Like, there's no way in his career,
yeah, I agree,
right now, and, you know, he's 23 years old. We haven't seen his best yet.
Yeah, and let me share you upside, okay, and the difference. You need to understand out there the massive gap between Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins in terms of involvement in the offense and actual talent. T. Higgins, 18% target share. Ja'Marr Chase is almost 30%. Red zone targets, 12 for T. Higgins. Ja'Marr Chase had 26 despite being injured. Okay. That 26 turned into how many red zone touchdowns? 5. For Higgins, it was 4 in 12. So there's opportunity on those red zone targets. We talked about DK Metcalf. It would be kind of wrong to say that his touchdown upside is there. And then you look at those red zone targets for Ja'Marr Chase and don't say that he could put up 18 touchdowns. Like, yeah. That's in Ja'Marr Chase's range of outcomes. He had 9 last year. It would be very easy for him to put up 12 to 18.
DJ Moore has started playing in the NFL in 2018. Ja'Marr Chase has more career touchdowns than DJ Moore.
Pour one out for DJ.
Yeah, that's just, yeah.
But, yeah, he's well worth consideration. Like, Jefferson, who we're about to talk about, Hill, Cup, Chase.
Which?
Adams.
All
could be number one this year. All
yes,
could finish number one.
And it's at least worth mentioning for Ja'Marr Chase. Again, if you're just tuning in, you may have missed it. Joe Burrow suffered a calf strain last week. Mm-hmm. Was that when that happened? So Joe Burrow will basically be shut down until the season actually starts. We don't love a franchise quarterback having a calf strain for what on a calf. If you looked at the video, he already had a sleeve on that calf, so he knew something was wrong with it, so that can be a slight concern for if you're out there and you want to completely avoid any risk with these top picks.
Yeah, I don't worry at all about the lack of preseason or anything.
Agreed.
Like that.
Yeah.
That doesn't scare me at all. It's just a matter of there is a chance
tweak
of re-aggravation
one. Yeah, re-aggravation and
tweak
week
one.
Tweak one would be bad.
Yeah,
I don't want to see it. Justin Jefferson is number one.
Is that Ms. Doubtfire?
Oh, yeah, it is.
Is that what that is?
I don't think so.
Yeah, that's Ms. Doubtfire.
No,
at least the voice.
I don't. She's a higher voice, dear. She's up here.
The pronunciation of the word don't, yeah, though, is what we're getting at.
Mm. That's just Scottish to me. I don't. Or is that Irish? I don't know. No, that's Scottish.
Give me Doubtfire again.
I don't.
Okay, thank you. Justin Jefferson is number one.
Yeah, real bold by us.
Look, I believe he's a good wide receiver. I think he's going to be getting yards and targets in this offense.
Okay.
He's good at catching the ball.
Did you just say you believe he's going to get yards and targets?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
And
wow.
Like, when I watch him,
yeah,
I see a wide receiver that I believe in. And I think that when he's on the field, he's just really nice.
Incredibly, Adam Thielen is vacating the second most routes in the NFL.
Yeah.
So, you know, Addison's a rookie. And KJ Osborne is a wide receiver 2.5. And so everything's guaranteed for Jefferson.
He has the most targets through any player's first 3 seasons of the NFL at 476.
I don't think Madison's as good as Cook, especially in the passing game. Like, there's just nothing to stop Justin Jefferson this year. And so he is the safest pick. If you don't want to stress just take him. Yeah. 101.
It's his rookie year, he was the wide receiver 6. Then he was the wide receiver 4. Last year, he was the wide receiver 1 with 1,809 yards. He had fewer touchdowns than he should have. Like, he has positive touchdown regression. He could be better than he was last year.
28 red zone targets and 6 red zone touchdowns.
Yeah. And this will be very surprising, but he's having a great camp. People are saying
Jefferson?
Jefferson okay. is having a great camp. They're just saying he looks really good.
Get that hype train going for Justin Jefferson. I mean, can I make him a my guy?
Yeah, you sure can. Hey. That one, I think, is going to be a little tougher to, you know, really justify.
That
but
would be
we
a
make
fail,
the rules.
A my guy fail if he finished at 2.
Yeah. You'd have to. The only way you could make him a my guy is if it's an ironclad guarantee that he's the number one.
Yeah. It's tough for someone to be a my guy where, like, you have 10 out of 12 teams just simply won't ever even have the opportunity to draft him.
No, I guess I won't do it then. All right, that is it for today's episode of the podcast. Done with the wide receivers, the running back rankings countdown. Next week, we'll be with you every day.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.